Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour Online, your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to him.
Come. You come from
your feet. It's an aristocratic. Listen, the goal of the enemy.
The goal.
From knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me, came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule. And you need to know that there is a king in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail. The lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no king in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. Is there no king living in you? Then why do you speak with such low self-esteem?
Thank you so much for staying tuned to The Smart Hour. Again, this is your sister, Tanisha Smart. Before the break, I told you we would introduce our guest of the hour. Tonight we have Pastor O'Shea Smith. Oh my, where to begin with this powerhouse? Okay, Pastor O'Shea Smith is first and foremost a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a husband and father of three sons and lives in West Metro Atlanta. At an early age, he felt that God had a plan for his life. He was very active in his church and was often called upon to minister the word. But it was while attending West Georgia College in the 80s when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that the call of God became very clear and precise to him. God began to give him understanding of his word and revelation knowledge with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. His ministry pursuits took him abroad. Tampico is where he saw pain and suffering and a lack of God on a larger scale. When he came back to the States, he began to go to the unreached on the streets and in places where it was not comfortable or convenient to reach the lost, which is powerful. He is the pastor of Communion Fellowship in LaGrange, Georgia. The Adam, Where Art Thou Men's Fellowship, which started out as a small Bible study of men and has now grown into a ministry that expands nationally with a weekly conference call, monthly breakfast fellowship, a tri-monthly shut-in and fellowship, and has branches in Douglasville, Georgia, Marion, South Carolina, and Baltimore, Maryland. He is the author of the book Unity, The Real One Accord. He is now writing his new book, God Has Not Given the Spirit of Fear. You will never fear another day in your life. And he also teaches a 12-week class called Successful Family at the United States Federal Prison on Mondays and Fridays. This class actually prepares men who have been in federal prison for a long period of time on how to acclimate back into society so as not to return. So I would like to welcome Pastor O'Shea. How are you, Pastor O'Shea?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. And how are you this evening?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you so much for joining in or agreeing to actually come in on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. Regretfully.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Great. Well, regretfully.
Thank you for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I believe we had a little bit of a lag there.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
I was just saying thank you so much for the invitation. It's my pleasure to be here and just to share in the goodness of God with what God is doing.
Amen. Amen. Well, regretfully, I had to shorten your bio because you have really been busy in the kingdom of God. My goodness. But again, I thank you for coming to the show to share what the Lord has allowed into your life to create and weave the very fabric of who you are today. Tonight we want to impart into our fathers and to allow God to move by His Spirit to empower the men that are listening. Is that all right?
That is indeed all right with me, and I am prepared to do what thus saith the Lord. One thing I would like to share is there has been when you talk about fathers, the term father has been given such a snub. There was a time when a father was an honorable, and it still is an honorable position, but you have so many people today who use the term very loosely. And I actually heard a young lady once call her child's father sperm donor. Father has been attacked. The term father has been attacked to such a degree where people are now, they've tried to belittle. And I know it's an attack of the enemy, but sometimes through our ignorance, we've accepted that diminishing of the term father. And if we really ever understood the importance of the father, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when you pray, the disciples said, Master, teach us how to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father. Well, that's a very strong statement. And I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we kind of glean past that. Jesus said, to get his attention, you need to address him as Our Father, which signifies covenant, which signifies I'm not just anybody coming to you. You're my Father. He says, when
that's
you pray,
powerful.
Pray, Abba, Father. See, you're setting order in place because, yes, ma'am. Because when a father speaks, it carries authority and weight that's ordained from God. So Jesus said, you don't just pray any kind of way. Pray like this. Say, Our Father. Let's establish
the order
from the onset.
Well, and that's powerful as far as talking about the prayer and how we should actually approach God and approach prayer. That is very powerful, and even the thought and you speaking on covenant. I think that's very important. Let's talk about the importance, if you don't mind, of the importance of a father's presence. As I've shared on the show before, I have never met my father, never even seen him. I believe that affected my view of love from a man and what that actually means. So like you said, we live in a society, particularly amongst African American, where the absence of a father is kind of status quo, and then even, you know, the derogatory terms that are attached to the word father or the name father, and it's expected. It's sad to say, but it's an expected thing amongst some people. There was a systematic mindset put in place years ago regarding this, and we can certainly delve into that later in the show, but please talk to our kings about the importance of their presence in the lives of their children.
Absolutely. First and foremost, let me say, because we were created in the very likeness, according to Genesis chapter 1, in the very likeness, the image and likeness of God, who is the Father. The importance of a father, the father is the initiator of life. You know, the father carries the seed. Even in Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible talks about we were created in the image of God, the father has the big picture. That's what the Spirit of God shows, the big picture. Now, what I think is so very important, as we defined a father, as we give definition to it, we cannot really fully understand it without understanding the working of the Holy Spirit. Because something very interesting, passages of Scripture we quote quite often in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says the Spirit hovered over the waters. Then it said, God said, let there be light. That's very significant, Tanisha. Before God spoke, the Spirit moved. So we always quote that scripture as God said and the Spirit moved. But if you look at the scripture in context, it actually says in Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The next verse says, and God said, let there be light. So as a father, you first must recognize the one who created you. The Holy Spirit has to be acknowledged because it's the Holy Spirit that imparts unto you who you are, your character. Parts unto us so that we'll understand that we have the big picture. We're created in the image of God. We actually have the mind of the Father, Almighty God himself. And so it's interesting that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says God created everything, the Father. He created everything. But then he brought it to Adam, the father of creation, to see what he would call those things. And whatever Adam called it, the scripture says that's what it was. Now, why that's so very important is because a father sees the bigger picture. God brought the things to Adam. Adam named everything that was. Tanisha, 2,000 years ago, Adam called the flying thing a bird. Here we are 2,000 years later, what do we call it? A bird.
A bird.
So what that tells us, when a man, when a father who understands his authority delegated by God speaks, that thing that he speaks remains. We have got to teach our young men, as you're stepping into fatherhood, your word carries weight because it's backed by heaven when it's in line with the Spirit of God. So when Adam spoke, God confirmed it. So there's authority that comes with the position of man, because God, the Bible says, God gave everything to man. He gave him dominion and authority. And then he said this, I want you to dress and keep the garden. Look at what he was saying to him. I'm giving you responsibility, man. I've given you authority. I've allowed you to name everything because you followed the Spirit of God. And now I'm giving you the responsibility to dress it and keep it. And as he followed the Holy Spirit, everything Adam spoke from his mouth produced life. As a father, fatherhood starts, and it's unfortunate, I listened to the statistics you just gave, which is true. You know, with me being in federal penitentiary, I see 85 to 90% of, unfortunately, people of color who've been incarcerated. And of those, I take a survey every class, and I'll ask the question, how many grew up without fathers? It is startling. 10 men in every class that I have will tell me they grew up without a father in the home. There was no father in the home to give them direction. There was no father in the home to name them. There was no father in the home to tell them who they were. That's the authority that a father carries.
My goodness, that's powerful. That's powerful. Even that you do the survey, 8 out of 10, that is a lot. So let's jump on that in that statistic alone. And I don't want to make this show just about, you know, the black race or whatever. However, I believe, well, let me just say this, and speaking, I just spoke about the system, the systematic mindset regarding men and men in the home. And in speaking of the system, I'm speaking of the mindset of the creation of slaves, okay? And like I said, I don't want to focus on that much, but I believe to get an understanding of a thing, we do have to journey to the genesis or the beginning of it, if you will.
Absolutely.
So it was imparted to women to get rid of men, basically, and with the ancestral mindset, men naturally created babies, you know, from slaves and were forced to leave them or not be able to protect them because of slavery and the limited power of the black man. So in that, and that's not to make an excuse, but that's just the reality. And so I posted in social media recently because I believe the Lord has been dealing with me on, you know, just the genesis of that. And I was looking into the Willie Lynch letter. And so I believe a lot of times if we would really just take the time to read and go back and research, we can find out a lot of things. When I read that letter in The Making of a Slave and the mindset that was implemented or strategically put in place over black people, you can still see that being carried out today. So in that letter, he, and not to make it long and drawn out, but just in case some people aren't familiar with the letter and what actually took place, this speaker came and he came to teach people, slave owners, how to make a slave and how to create the mindset of a black woman and a black man. And in that, he did talk about how they would take the slave, the man, the head of the family, the man, and put them between two animals and rip them apart, have the animals go in opposite directions while he's tied to them, and then set the man on fire. And then they would do that to the other man, like beat them to almost to the point of death, so they would know not to try to rise up against that power, if you will. Women seeing this happen wanted to protect their young son, okay, which would burst the world. So the men grew up, sons grew up depending on the women and needing the mothers for things instead of getting out front and being the protector and the guarder and the one that provides. Now, we are in a day and age now where times have changed, and through Christ and the inner workings of how God moves, men have that power back. Please speak to our men on how to execute that power, how to speak and decree the blessings over their children, and just to take that role, to take it back by force and walk in that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it was very systematically done. And thank God, through his grace and his mercy, that through his son Jesus, our minds now can be renewed, being brought back to their original state, which was the mind of God, thinking the way God thinks. And so what has to happen now? And I can use my own personal example with my sons. What I did from in their birth, I began, even in the womb, I began to speak to them so they would know their daddy's voice. I began to declare, and some people don't see the value of this, but I'm telling you, I've seen it work. I began to speak into the womb the blessings upon them. And what I would do every night before my sons, after they were born, I was stand face to face with them every night. The last words they heard, I made sure before they went to bed every night, was my words into the. I would speak into their face and tell them who they were. I would tell them, and they would hear my words.
My goodness.
The last thing they heard every night before they went to bed, I didn't want it to be some show on television. I wanted to be me declaring to them who they were. And so I'd speak that into them every single night, face to face. And I did that throughout almost their entire lives, telling them who they were. Because as God did with us, and so many times Jesus would reference his father. He said, I only speak what I hear my father say. I only do, and he even prayed before he departed to go back to heaven. He said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. In other words, I have such a dependency on you. I've come to do what you call me to do. The scripture says in John chapter 3, we quote it all the time, 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. But in the book of Psalms, it says, the son said, prepare me a body. In other words, He understood God's love for humanity, so he had the same love. When a father speaks into his son, that son will begin to emulate that father. I'll give you an example from the prison. There was a young man, an inmate I was dealing with. He had been in prison for 21 years. And throughout the course of our class time, we were on a very sensitive topic. And he said, he raised his hand, he said, "Let me tell you something. When I was 14 years old, I used to come and visit my father in prison. And I said, I will never do this to my children." He said, "And now I have two, a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old. They just came to see me yesterday." Now, the reason I mention that is what happens as a father, this shows you the authority and the power of a father.
Wow.
Now, he said, with everything in him, he never wanted to put his children through what he went through. But here he found himself 14, 15 years later in the same condition, doing the same thing that the father does.
Wow.
Now, Tanisha, I believe if something like that negatively can happen and impact those children, I believe a man who stands in the authority that God has given him, who follows the Holy Spirit of God for his life and allows the mind of Christ to be in his mind, can speak into his child's life, and that child will emulate the exact same way. He will walk, and so it'll be to a point where he'll say this: "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I am in the very reflection and mirror of Almighty God." And I believe that's what God calls for us to do. Now, what we have to do as men, we need to step back into that role. Yes, there were some things that happened in our lives. There was some systematic racism and slavery that took place. But then there's the blood of Jesus that wipes away all of our sins. Old things are passed away. But we have to be willing to turn our hearts toward God. And what I mean by that is we have to totally surrender our wills to the Spirit of God. Because I think what has happened is we are saying out of our mouths, God. We're saying out of our mouths, you know, "I'm going to serve God." But the children don't see what you're saying. And what you're saying and what you're living begins to line up, then you're birthing something negatively or positively. You're birthing something in your children through the life that you live. And so we've got to go back to the Father through the Spirit of God again so we can see the hand of God move. If I could just share with you, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, when God sent the deliverer Moses, he brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. Well, that's a topology of what we went through. They went through 400 years of slavery. Well, when he brought them out, they still had the mindset of Egypt. As
yes,
a matter of fact,
did.
So many times they would say this: "Why did you bring us out to die?"
There
are so many
sure
people,
did.
Even in our race, that have come out. We are no longer bound by some of the ills of the prejudices and slaveries that we did experience, but some people are still trying to hold on to that slavery. When in fact, God has brought us out, just like the children of Israel. And the danger of that is that when God used Moses to bring them out, it took them 40 years, Tanisha, to get to the promise. It took them 40 years to make an 11-day trip. And many of them died because they murmured, they complained, and they still tried to live like they were in bondage.
Wow.
So what has to take place, there has to be a mind shift. You've got to come out of Egypt, and then you've got to live like you're out of Egypt. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier about the big picture. See, when you follow the Spirit of God, in the wilderness, they had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to direct them. And that was a type of the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture says, if the Holy Spirit moved for 2 days, they moved for 2 days. If he sat still for 30 days, they would be still for 30 days. The scripture says, in all of our ways, we are to acknowledge him. Well, so many of us are doing things without acknowledging the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus told us in John chapter 16, when he comes, Tanisha, he's going to lead you into all truth. You don't have to lean to your own understanding anymore. You can literally follow him. If you follow the Holy Spirit, He will guide and direct your life. And so that's where we are. There's a people that are not following the Holy Spirit. They're not following Him. So what happens is they reap what they sow. The scripture says there's a way that seems right. I've even noticed in the church, we've been praying about things, praying for these men to be delivered, praying for this to happen, and it's not happening. And instead of us going back to God and saying, Father, what's going on, we try to come up with another formula, still leaning to our own understanding, how to handle the fatherlessness in our communities, how to handle the joblessness. Well, all we need to do is go back to the Holy Spirit. He was the one that Jesus said would comfort us. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when the Comforter is come. Tanisha, why did He call Him the Comforter? Because Jesus understood there are going to be some perilous times coming. There are going to be some times that come that are going to cause you to want to go back to Egypt. Go back to your old way of doing it. You can't find a job. You used to sell drugs. Go back. But He says, I'm going to send a Comforter.
Goodness.
I'm going to send someone to walk alongside you. And if you will follow Him, He'll guide you into the truth of what God wants for your life. So maybe we're not finding that pathway because we're not following the Holy Spirit.
That's good. All of that is so good. So as far as with my goodness, I can't get out of my head this example that you gave. The whole time you're speaking, I can see what you're saying, and I'm thinking about this example of the man in prison who did not want to do that with his children.
Yes.
And
yes.
Ended up in that same position. So
exactly.
Speaking on that particular level, how could his life, you know, just in the simplest terms possible, how could he have achieved what he desired to not have his children follow in his footsteps? And even in And let me say this before you answer that. Some of our listeners are, of course, walking in a way, and they want to change. That's one thing.
Ooh.
So they want to do better so that they can lead their children. But some of them have had the examples of fathers that were not there. And, you know, it's like a cycle that continues. So just in the simplest terms possible, for this example that you gave, how could his life have been different? And even for those people that are not yet saved or not yet believers, walk us through that process and what they would need to do, those steps to follow the Holy Spirit and to make whatever changes would need to be made so that the sons would not follow in that path.
Absolutely. There is a saying, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always gotten. Now, the scripture says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if I don't want to do what my father, if I don't want the same results that my father had, then I cannot do what my father did. So what happens is we're trying to do the same thing but get a different result. And, you know, that's called in the clinical term insanity. You're doing the same thing over and over again, trying to get a different result. And so that's exactly what happens. A lot of these gentlemen that I get the privilege of speaking with in the prisons, they'll say to me, I thought I could do it different. I thought I wouldn't get caught. I said, well, listen, it happened before you. It's going to happen after you. But the system is set against you. And unless you do something different, and that's why I challenge people. I even challenge people in church who are in church as men and it's not working. Your life is not changing. Well, there's nothing wrong with the word. It's the fact that you have an idea. You have a timetable that you've given God of when it's supposed to work. And if it doesn't work on that timetable, you've got a plan B. And so what we have to understand is when you come to God, there is no plan B. Even
Ooh,
as a non-believer,
that's good.
there's no plan B. See what the Lord shared with me, when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we gave our lives to God, God took us seriously. See, He didn't know that we were saying, I'm giving you my life as long as things are going well. He took us at our word that we were giving Him wholly all of our lives to do whatever he wanted to do because he knows what's best for us. So when it seems like it's not going right, when it doesn't look the way you think it needs to look, you no longer have a say-so because you've given your life to him. So you can't give your life to God when it's convenient and then pull back when it's not working the way you want it to go. Well, you shouldn't have had a way that you wanted it to go because now you've put on his mind. Now you have his life, and if you'll stay obedient, you'll get his results. So gentleman who is going through those things in his life, and maybe his father, his son is starting to imitate what he's doing, well, until he does something different, he's going to get the same exact results. And what I love about men, God has put it inside of men to stand strong. When I see a young man standing on the corner doing nothing all day long, and then he starts to get in trouble, it's inevitable. Because we were created to be productive. And that's not something that we're hearing enough of. We're not telling our young men, when we see them headed down the wrong path, you're created to be productive. You know, there's a lie that says that you're lazy. You're not lazy. Look around you. Everything that you said, that you see, was built on the backs of our people. So we're hard workers, but some sort of way, we started believing negative words. Words are so extremely important. That's why Jesus said this in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And then the Word created everything. So we have to, it sounds very simple and elementary, but I don't believe we still haven't gotten it. I don't think we've gotten the understanding that the Holy Spirit wanted to give us because we're still using the wrong words. We use the right words on church on Sunday, but on Monday, when you go out to your mailbox, after you just said, I'm an overcomer, I'm the head and not the tail, and you reach into your mailbox as a man, and you pull that bill out, and then you say, woe is me, what am I going to do?
Wow.
You just negated the very the faith that you operated in 24 hours ago because you're walking
by sight, Jesus, and
not by faith. Mm. But if you can look at that same deal and with the same zeal declare, like God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, if you declare a thing, God will establish it. Because whatever Adam called it, remember, whatever he called it,
that's
what it was. When you and you and your spouse start arguing back and forth, Adam, what do you call that? If you say we're over, if you say divorce, then that's what you're going to have. But if you say I took a covenant, I made a covenant agreement till death do us part. If I have not died, if you can declare out of your mouth, even in that heated situation, God will bag what comes out of your mouth.
My God,
whatever
Jesus.
Adam called it, God said that's what it is. And so we have got to get back to saying what our Father, Almighty God, has said. Because there are so many people, like you just mentioned, who grew up in homes without fathers. But I'm going to tell you something what I've noticed. I can almost tell a male or female when they grew up without a father. I can look back over 5 years of their lives and let them tell me their five-year story. And without telling me, I can tell them you didn't have your father in your life. Now, just because your father's not in the house, that doesn't mean he's not in your life. See, yes, there was a breakdown in the family, but I know of really good men who are no longer with the mother, but are still in the child's life because the child needs the father. She names, he names her. He gives her the direction. She's the first date. One of my only regrets, and this is a side note, is I never had daughters. And so I used to say many years ago that I wanted to adopt two girls. Just because I wanted to love them in such a way so that if when a man tried to approach them, they would have to come correctly. I wanted to love them the way the Bible says, so they would. That's what a father does. A father has that kind of authority. He can love his daughter in such a way with such a level of honor and respect that when a man comes along, if he can't get up to that level, and that's not necessarily financial, that's just respect and honor. Speaking life into her. Create her. The Bible says Eve was only called Eve because Adam said, your name is Eve. Good God Almighty. Adam spoke that thing. Adam said
it. Yes, he did.
And that's why her name was Eve. You're the mother of all living. Think about what he said to her. From this moment forward, everybody, you are the foundation. You're the mother of all living. He told Abraham, look at what a father says to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make your name so great that they won't be able to number the sand, they'll number the sands of the sea, the sands of the earth. That's how powerful a man who steps into his fatherhood is. He's not just some sperm donor. And that's a trick of the enemy.
I know that's right. Yes, it is.
He's just a sperm donor.
Yes,
no, he's
is.
A father. And when he steps into that position, Almighty God, all of heaven, all of the heavenly host will back up what comes out of his mouth.
Well, let's jump on that. Let's jump on what you just said about,
yes, ma'am.
My goodness. Ooh, I feel the presence of God in this thing. But as far as the backing of all of heaven backing what the man says and speaks, let's go into prayer and the importance of prayer. And I'll give the example. We'll talk about the example of David and how David, of course, we know all the things that David did, and he prayed for Solomon before he died. He prayed for Solomon.
Yes.
And we can, of course, find that in Psalm 72. In that prayer, he says some key things, made people continue to pray for him and all these different things. And he said, and may the gold of Sheba be his. Then we journey forward, and we see that the queen of Sheba comes to him. My God, Jesus.
Yes.
And, oh, my goodness, comes to him with those gifts when she had to just come and see who this Solomon was. And when she saw everything around him and how everything was in order and the wisdom that he operated in, then she was inclined to give to him. Now, we can also see, and not to drag it out, but we can see where God, you know, in that, said, he told, let Solomon know, I would have dealt with you if it were not for your father. The prayers that David prayed for his son carried weight, even after
he
was dead. So please talk to our men about the power of prayer and what you said, key, how all of heaven will back what that man speaks and prays over his child.
Absolutely. Two very important key points with that prayer that David prayed. First of all, Solomon saw David praying. So that's first and foremost. Your children, male and female, they need to see their father talking to God. That's a training that's taking place. See, because I talk to God, and I tell people this all the time, just another quick side note, because I have sons, I can really, this topic is a passion of mine. See, I tell people, I never taught my children to pray. That sounds real strange when people hear me say that. What I did was, the Holy Spirit told me, teach them who I am. See, if I teach them, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I teach them how to pray, then they'll just get monotonous and it becomes mechanical.
Yeah.
Now I lay me down to sleep. Because that's how I was. But when I teach them who God is, when the heat is on, when the pressures of life come to them, their daddy has taught them, look at what I do when I'm facing a situation.
Woo!
They saw me.
I know
pray.
You're right.
And so what they automatically would do when daddy is no longer around, when I'm no longer in the picture, my daddy has taught me about a connection with heaven. So I don't need to, now I lay me down to sleep. I can talk to the Father, and the Father will heal me. My gosh, let me calm down. I tell you, this is a passion of mine. You teach them who God is. So Solomon saw David entreating the Lord. So when the Queen of Sheba came, Solomon saw a fulfillment of what his father had said. It gave him more confidence that my father said this to God. And let me tell you another thing about when the Queen of Sheba saw it. See, she saw the order. In other words, she saw that things were already in place. See, people want to be a part of something that's going good. When people see a good thing, it automatically makes them give into that good thing. So when the Queen of Sheba saw it, she said, hold on a minute. I've heard about this, but the half hasn't been told. And I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to sow into this. Because that's something incredible going on, because his father had set the structure and order in place. And that's what Solomon saw. So watch this. So when Solomon had a hard time and things got kind of tight, glory to God, what Solomon actually said to God when it was his time to talk to God, he didn't say, God, give me stuff. He didn't say, God, give me riches.
Woo!
Give me the wisdom.
wisdom. Yes, he did.
He did not ask.
Yes, he did.
Look what God, look how God responded. He said, Solomon, you've been, now your father was a man after my own heart, and I see that it's trickled down upon you. And since you didn't ask me for stuff, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you everything your heart desires.
My goodness.
Because Solomon heard his daddy do it. It's just like what Jesus said, I only say what I hear my father say. Look at the power of fatherhood. I only do what I see my daddy doing. And then when Jesus prayed, he said this, now, Father, make them one. Let them have a father-son relationship like you and I are one. Let them know what it's like to connect to their father, God Almighty, and every authority, everything that comes with that. Praise God.
That's so powerful. Oh my goodness. So in praying, you said the first thing, and I just want to reiterate that, is you said God told you to teach your sons who you are, who he is. And they, your sons see you pray. And Solomon saw David pray. That's powerful because he had an example of it.
Here's what you got to understand. If Solomon did not see David praying, he got an example of how not to pray. See, what we have to understand as fathers, you're being an example whether you want to or not. But what are you exemplifying? Yeah. If they don't see you praying, if they don't see you in the Word of God, if they don't hear you speaking life, you're being an example to them, and they're going to follow your example. You reap what you sow. see, if they don't see you praying, then they don't see the need for prayer. And see, well, a lot of times, even in two-parent households, if the father's not praying, but they see the mother going to church, the mother's praying, and that's wonderful. Thank God for the grace he's given mothers. But it leaves the child torn when daddy, see, daddy is the authority. You know, one of the comedians said once, one of the most powerful statements that a mother can make is, I'm going to tell your daddy. Look at the authority of that. See, everybody knows the power of that. One of the most powerful statements that can be made is, I'm going to tell your daddy. Because she understood father has the authority. Yes, thank God for mothers. But it's something about, I remember coming up as a child. I grew up in a household with three boys. I had a baby sister. And my mom, bless her heart, 5'2", and we all three big boys. And, you know, she would get on to us. Rightfully so. And she'd tell us something maybe two or three times, and we were respectful, so we would do it. But all my father had to do was look. He didn't have to say anything. My father could just look at us. Everybody understood. If you want to continue on in life, you need to pop those brakes and stop what you're doing because of the authority I believe God has given to man. This is not something you have to go and get. It's a realization that you have to realize your identity and who you are. And a lot of our men are lost because they don't know. But the only person who can tell them who they are is their father. And I'm talking about Father God. You've got to go to Father God so he can tell you, you're in my image. What I'm seeing you doing, that's not my image. See, you're an imposter right now. That thing that you're doing illegally, that's an imposter. I didn't make you like that. I made you to get up and go get it. I made you to work, and I made you to be prosperous. I made you to speak life only. I made you to declare a thing, and if you declare it, I'll bring it to pass. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to hear it. There's a scripture that Jesus taught his disciples. He said, knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. So why don't we have? Maybe we're not asking. Maybe we're not knocking. Maybe we're not seeking. According to, now here's a caveat, according to the will of God. And who can help us with that?
That's so powerful. That's powerful. When you said that about just the authority of the father, I know I have a son and a daughter, and I honestly, this is so profound, but I can remember my daughter when she was a baby, and I'm talking about maybe 3 months old, if that old. My husband at the time, she was just fussing, laying out crying, just fussing, and my husband stood over her and held up his finger. He said, "You stop that." And do you know she quieted down? That was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, because I had never seen anything like that. I'm like, wow, that is the authority of a father. And I'm so glad that you said that about, because we have some fathers, I'm sure, that are listening, that have not always walked right. And I mean, none of us have. We've all fallen short. The worry is that we've fallen short.
Absolutely.
But just as our children see fathers pray, I believe it's key and it's paramount that our children see fathers get back up after a fall.
Yes.
Because we're going to make mistakes. And then it teaches them that, okay, if you fall, there is the grace of God where you can get up again and continue to walk and follow God. And for those men that are listening that have not had the father to speak into them and to pour into them, sometimes it's a lack, it's a void. And you can even, I believe, just in my examination of men, I'm no expert on men, but I can even say just being a human myself, you can get tired from walking through life and going through the things of life, and you wish that you had a reservoir of something to pull from, something, some words that someone has spoken. And for you to say that it is Father God that can tell you who you are and that will tell you who you are is an amazing degree of hope for people that are looking for that, that fill that void, because it can very well be there. That's powerful. So let's talk about, before we get too close to the end of the show, because I always get all the way to the edge of my hour because it's just so good. But let's talk about, let's think of a father's blessings. And you did touch on this earlier. I just want to go a little bit deeper into that. We often hear from Scripture the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it likely would have been Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Reuben, because he was the firstborn of Jacob. And we see in Genesis 49 that his father told him that he would no longer excel because he had defiled his father's bed. That's the power. Yes. And he spoke over all of his sons and decreed and gave them instruction on what they, my God, he spoke over all of his sons. So we, like I said, you did touch on that earlier. But I want to go back to that, because when we think about that example of Jacob and what he spoke, it happened just as he decreed it. But please speak into our fathers about the power and importance of speaking into the children, speaking into their destiny, launching them, as Psalm says, you know, from the quiver, blessed when the quiver is full of sons, so you can aim them and launch them into purpose and into destiny with those, with something as simple as words. Well, what we would see, what we would see as simple as words. We men can speak so much into the destinies of their children. Please talk to our fathers about that.
Absolutely. You know, one of the important things is, and I keep reiterating, because we're made in the image of God, so we don't have to recreate the wheel. The wheel's already been made. All we have to do is follow the pattern. See, the Bible says, God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. He said it. He spoke it out of his mouth. He gave us the instrument and said, life and death is in the power. Look at the word power there means ability, the ability of your tongue. And I think sometimes, Tanisha, we get too smart for our own good, and we try to outthink God. We try to outthink the plan, and the plan has been in place before we came on the scene, and it will still be here once we're gone, because the Scripture says heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word is going to stand. When everything else shakes, the word will still be standing. And one of the reasons that we battle with that is because when you just speak the word, when you just follow the pattern, you cannot take the credit for it, because it's not your words. So you're using someone else's words, so you have to give them all the credit for it.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about speaking into your children's destiny, when you've heard through your covenant with God, and that's very important, when the Spirit of God speaks through you and to you, then what you release is God's plan for their lives, and God honors what comes out of your mouth. I got to share this with you because it goes in line with what we're talking about. When my son was born, a year before my first son was born, the Lord told me I was going to have a son. His name was going to be Joshua Caleb. Okay, it happened.
Wow.
Well, 3 years later, a year before my wife was pregnant, I said, the Lord told me we're going to have another son. his name will be Aaron Asher. And this is what she said to me.
Wow.
She said, well, what if it doesn't? So what we did was we didn't do the sonogram or whatever to find out the sex of the child. We didn't do that at all. This is what my wife said to me. She said, well, I know you said that about the Joshua, but what if it doesn't happen? I said, let me tell you something. If there's a female in your womb, on the day of delivery, God will switch it up.
My goodness.
I spoke out of my mouth by his authority, and there's no way he would let those words drop. I say, if there's a female, and that's why I refuse to see a sonogram for 9 months. I say, if there's a female in your womb, when on the day of delivery, the Lord will switch it up. Because he told me it was a boy, and he would never have told me a boy and given me a name if it wasn't that case. Now, that's where the prayer connection comes in. You have to be fellowshipping and talking to God. And so when my sons were born, because he had directed me the entire pathway, I just continued to follow him. And that's why I began to speak into their lives, all of their lives. That's a pattern that he gave me. He started the work, so there was no use to me going back and reinventing the wheel. Now, in the birth stages, I told my wife, I said, you won't have any complications, and you won't have any childbirth issues. I told her that. My wife went the entire course of her pregnancy with no issues. The day when my last son was born, we didn't even know the baby was, we knew she was pregnant, but we didn't know she was coming. My wife barely made it to the hospital in time before the baby popped out. She didn't even feel the pain because I declared, well, here's why. Because the scripture says the curse of disobedience. He told Eve in pain, in childbirth you'll have pain. Well, we're no longer under that curse.
Oh, my goodness.
When the Holy Spirit revealed that to me, I began to decree that from the moment we found out we were pregnant, I said, we'll have no pain.
Wow.
That was a curse, and we're no longer under that curse. So we no longer have
a curse. Ooh, that's good. Oh, my goodness.
We speak life, and that's what we have. God honors what comes out of the mouth of a father who is committed and submitted to his will. And so my last son, my wife barely made it up in the bed before he popped out. Because we declared it. There'll be no pain.
That's amazing.
That was the curse. Our words were, we're not under the curse anymore. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And that was a judgment on Eve. And we're no longer under that judgment. We're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, it's new. Everything else, old things are passed away. The new covenant, there's
that's
no pain
right.
in childbirth.
That's
and
right.
that's a revelation that I believe even in the church, the body of Christ, we have to get that understanding. And then we can begin to decree it. And so to your point, what you were saying, we'll begin to say that out of our mouths, and you'll find more people when they're having these babies, they won't have all these complications because they didn't have the understanding. And hopefully now we can share a little bit of understanding concerning that.
Praise God. That is powerful. So even in just speaking over children and speaking over their lives, when I think about, just for example, when I think about some of the greats, if you will, and what they do, like the Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and Venus and Serena, you look at them, and the common factor in all of those scenarios is their father. Even though, even in looking at Beyonce, I mean, I'm not a fan of some, but that's not the point, but you just looking at the father that was, my goodness, the presence of the father and what he showed. It really is.
Why, Tanisha? Because it's God ordained. See, the scripture says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It is God's pattern. When you do God's pattern, listen, if I get a believer and a non-believer and they stand on top of the Empire State Building and they jump, they're both going to go down. That's a law. The law of gravity doesn't have a respect of person to your believing. You can say, I don't believe this is going to happen to me. But if you step off of that building, the law of gravity will grab you and say, whether you believe it or not, I'm taking you from this point on. So all of those people that you named, the principle is already established. If you step into that principle, it's still, and that's exactly what we see with a lot of people that you, look at the Jackson 5. We've
that's
all seen
right.
the story. As mean as Joe Jackson was, the principle, that's all we're talking about is the principle. Joe said that you guys will be the best. And I saw a few years ago where they recognized Michael Jackson as the entertainer of the millennium. They said in the last 100 years, no one changed music like this one individual. Now, I'm not glorifying that, but I'm simply saying it's the principle. So if you can do it, if Joe Jackson can do it, cussing his children out, me as a son of Abraham, if I declare a thing over my children, over my neighborhood children, I'm telling you, this thing is big. See, once you have the authority, God has allowed me to step into a father figure for other young men and women. And because of the absence of their father, I've watched God honor me speaking into their lives and bringing it to pass and bringing them where society said they'd never make it. But through the grace of God, God turned it around because someone decided to step into the role under the auspices and guidance of the Holy Spirit and speak into their lives, and I've seen it transform them. So the principle works. God is looking. The scripture says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro looking for a man. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for somebody to step into this role of fatherhood. And you can go to some of these fatherless children, and you can become a father figure, speaking into their lives and bringing them up to that place in God where they need to be.
Oh, that's so powerful, Pastor O'Shea. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this has just been so rich. So even just, my goodness, just God speaking to those that don't have children naturally, or even if they do, but God has called them to be a father, to a fatherless child. It's powerful. My goodness.
Absolutely.
So since we're at the edge of our hour, because you know I can keep going on and on again, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening to the Smart Hour. Again, I am Tanisha Smart, your sister. We also want to thank you, our great guest tonight, Pastor O'Shea Smith. You have shared like so much great knowledge and wisdom and revelation on the undeniable power of a father's role in the lives of his children. So I want to thank you for what you shared. We certainly do appreciate you.
Yes,
okay, and then hopefully
thank
we can get you back onto the show again and see what we can what the Lord will say through you again, okay?
It would definitely be my pleasure, and thank you so much for the opportunity. We love just sharing the goodness of God, and to God be all the glory. Thank you.
Been listening to The Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.